Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Got a number of interesting things to talk about on the show. We're going to start out talking about the Davos meeting. We're going to try and decide in a relatively short period of time how effective that meeting really is in the area of anything other than governmental control of society. I have personally listened to John Kerry, listened to Al Gore. I've listened to a number of other people. I have read as much as almost anybody in terms of the issue of global warming, and I am convinced, based on numerous discussions with some very sophisticated people, that global warming is not something that we need to really worry about at this moment in time. I think it's really, quite frankly, an issue of yet more government control. Agree or disagree, Jim?
No, I agree. There's a lot going on out there that we need to pay attention to. There are a lot more important issues than what's going on at Davos. Yeah. However, this is the group that has the most powerful influence over the future of this planet, pushing in this particular meeting this year. They're really pushing the climate agenda. The climate agenda, in my view, is absolutely to take control. Klaus Schwab started this in mid-70s. It's evolved. The idea was, you know, this think tank that would get different people involved. And he's done a phenomenal job
yeah.
in infiltrating governments and administrations around the country and then pulling in these major corporations that
yeah.
look to direct the policies towards, you know, humanity's future without the involvement of people, you know, with regular people, without the involvement of voters in democracies, without the involvement of the Chinese population. He actually reaches out and pulls in Xi, the premier of China, that, you know, has now made himself basically the leader for life.
Yeah.
He reaches out to these authoritarian groups and he reaches out to ideologues that really is pushing an agenda that sounds very good on the surface. And basically, it's an elitist view of how the world works, from very safe, you know, private jets and very wealthy, you know, resorts, but does not actually turn out that it will be so beneficial to the average working person around the world, in my view.
I would agree with that. You know, and listening to some of the speakers yesterday and looking at some of the news about what's going on back there, I would say that the common man is totally left out of the picture in terms of their agenda, and I think that's kind of sad.
Well, let's talk about the specifics. You know, they are pushing this net zero energy, you know, no carbon emissions by 2030, by basically stopping all fossil fuel production
right.
by 2050, pushing electric vehicles. They're pushing a lot of agendas that actually are impossible to achieve. What will that do to the average working class person trying to get to work? What will that do for energy costs, for cooking?
Yeah.
What does it cost for the food production to push these agendas? It's incredibly damaging. But what it does do is it gives these elitists and these powerful figures that believe they're smarter than everyone else and believe that they have more value than the average person out there, it gives them more power and it gives them more wealth. And this is why there's pushback, but it's also why you're hearing more frantic speeches from many of these elitists.
I did notice that, and particularly in talking, listening, I should say, I'm sorry, to John Kerry and Al Gore, I did notice a really kind of a ring of, oh, I would have to say hope, not necessarily hopelessness, but I would have to say extreme desire to convince the world that they are absolutely correct. What I find to be kind of interesting is you've got a couple of guys who are, in terms of Kerry and Gore, who are not particularly successful in the political arena. Al Gore, I would have to say, is definitely not successful in the political arena there. And I would have to say that John Kerry probably has kind of blown it in terms of some of his comments about the Swift Boat Hero, et cetera, et cetera. So you got some people who I think are kind of wannabes, for lack of better terms.
Both are failed
presidential. Would you agree with me on that one?
Sure. Both are failed presidential candidates.
Yeah.
Both of them were basically, you know, John Kerry was riding off of his legacy as a progressive anti-Vietnam vet that got involved in politics, but then married a very wealthy Heinz heir.
Yeah.
And then you've got Al Gore, who, you know, as vice president, as a senator for Tennessee, and then eventually vice president.
Yeah.
Was there for political purpose, never thought of as the most brilliant guy out there, but has made a fortune on pushing this green and climate change and global warming ideology. It started off back with you know, the ozone was going to collapse.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's now almost shrieking in his, if anybody wants to take a look at the video of him from this week in Davos, he's almost shrieking with panic over the climate, saying basically that it's too late, we're going to have to completely change everything. And in other words, he's going to take away you know, the economy for all of the United States in order to achieve his political power and political ideology, which is now shaped by this total green ideology.
Right. Well, I don't know. It's, you know, you have to ask yourself, is somebody like John Kerry, does he really believe what he's saying, or is he just looking to increase John Kerry's his own visibility? You know, the same thing is kind of true with Vice President, former Vice President Gore, I would have to think. I think that Klaus Schwab was absolutely brilliant in coming up with this agenda. Unfortunately, it really is turning into an agenda that fits right into the theory of those people who believe in the one world order. Something that I suppose is possible, I choose not to accept it. However, but you have to stop people who, it would appear, are going in that direction. And I think these guys are very definitely going in that direction, Jim.
They're creating fear. They're using fear as a tool.
Yeah, I agree.
And there are basically a lot of people that are susceptible to it. Do they know what the truth is behind? You know what they're, you know, selling. It's hard to believe. It does make sense that they have some faith and belief in their ideology.
Sure.
But it's because they're shaping their views without looking at it opposing views, which means ultimately they have an agenda here that's well beyond saving the planet.
Yeah.
So very, very disturbing to me. When you hear people like Larry Flint from BlackRock actually saying, trying to protect ESG, environmental social governance policies, because, you know, they're getting a bad rap. And when you hear the Siemens chairman talking about, hey, we got to stop eating meat and we need to get a billion people to stop eating meat, you know, these are unrealistic and foolish attempts to kind of reshape the direction that things are going. I think the WEF is going to fail in time, but it's going to take a lot of effort by the regular people.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I think is almost humorous. You know, a tried and true solution to the ills of society happens to be non-secular issues like Judaism, like Christianity, etc., etc. Those particular movements, those particular philosophies are really, really under fire right now by a lot of very powerful people, and that makes me very sad. I wonder why, as an alternative, more people haven't taken that under their wing and said, you know, it's been proven historically that this works, and why instead are they talking about electric cars, et cetera, et cetera?
You know, you got me, but
it's
undermining faith in something bigger.
Yeah.
I think we're way over our time for this segment, so I guess we'll use it for the last closing segment.
Okay, well, we're going to be back and we're going to wrap up what we're saying here in the closing segment of the show. But a lot of interesting comments that I've got. Thanks, you guys. Jim, thanks. We're going to be right back with another segment.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Continuing with KER Politics, we're going to talk right now about perhaps the biggest thorn in American society right now, because it really is a great example of how our society is deteriorating into a very, very negative place. Going to talk a little bit about Hunter Biden, going to talk a little bit about his dad, the President of the United States, and we're going to talk a little bit about the classified documents that showed up in Philadelphia. Let's start out talking about Hunter. I'm amazed that he has not been investigated by the FBI personally. I'm amazed that he has not been fully investigated by the Justice Department. What's the reason for that, Jimmy? Is it as simple a reason as simply the fact that his dad is the President of the United States, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's because, and he has been investigated. Let's just be clear on that.
Apparently, not really effectively.
He hasn't been charged.
No.
He hasn't been held accountable for any of the actions that he's done. And your point there is very good. Why haven't they done something about this?
Yeah.
And I would say, yeah, it's very clearly because he was associated with the former vice president with the Obama administration. And when his father,
yeah,
and he was probably so deeply embedded in corrupt activities and influence peddling that it would bring down possibly the entire legacy of the Obama Biden presidency from 2008 to 2016.
I agree with that, Jim.
I think, you know, what we're seeing right now is this unbelievable. It's opening the doors, I think, to many people's eyes that there is a two-tier justice system in Washington. If you are an insider inside the Democratic Party or a government, like all things center around the government, then you're protected.
Yeah.
If you are an outsider or you're trying to change that and take away the power that has been amassed in the intelligence community, in the Department of Justice, in the FBI, the federal control that's permeating our society, if you're against that, as a politician, you're going to be attacked. But if you're on the inside and you're corrupt, you're going to be protected, because if you break a little bit off of this, you show a little bit of what's happening, the entire house of cards could collapse. And I think that's beginning to happen right now. I think it's especially with this classified document scandal with Joe Biden and what's happening behind the scenes there between the DOJ and the White House.
Well, I read yesterday where that investigation was going to get to be a little bit more serious. I thought it was pretty serious, as it is right now. But can you elaborate at all on what do they mean it's going to get a little bit more serious?
So, you know, let's go back to what has happened. The Penn Center in the president's lawyers, White House lawyers, were actually going through documents, found classified, went to the Department of Justice. Department of Justice basically kept it silent. And according to Breitbart reporting and Washington Post reporting, they actually cut a deal with the White House to keep it silent.
Uh-huh.
So DOJ decided to work with the White House to kind of keep this entire classified thing from becoming too big of an issue.
Yeah.
That's incredibly damaging for their credibility, like we need anything else to damage their credibility. Then the White House says, hey, that's it. They looked at these documents, no big deal. But then they kept finding more and more in different places, unsecured and basically uncontrolled. But here's where you have this connection between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. There was one person in this. I don't know how many of our listeners out there actually have heard this yet, but there was a vice presidential staffer, a staffer for Joe Biden while he was in office from 2012 towards the end of his term till 2016, actually 2017 when he moved out. Her name was Kathy Chung.
Yeah.
She's been investigated. She's been interviewed, but she helped pack documents out of the White House and out of the vice president's residence and to move them to Delaware and apparently to the Penn Center.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know the specifics on who moved what. But bottom line is she was recommended to be on Joe Biden's staff from Hunter Biden. And she had apparently provided a tremendous amount of information to Hunter Biden while she was working on his father's staff. Some of that information included personal phone numbers of senior leaders in the government, including most of congressional leaders and Senate leaders, personal phone numbers, addresses, other information that was happening inside the vice president's office that would help Hunter Biden influence at the same time as connect with Chinese, Ukrainians, and other nefarious characters in order to sell his wares. This is very, very damaging information for the Biden family and potentially damaging enough to push Joe Biden out of office. And it looks like that Democrats are actually jumping on board with that to push him out as more and more information is brought forward.
You know, Jimmy, I got to tell you, I simply don't understand how Hunter can actually sell his dad as a commodity, sell his dad as a very, very expensive commodity. I cannot believe that the government of the United States of America has let that go without a major, major issue on their part stopping that. Because, I mean, it happened both in the Ukraine and it happened in China and it happened, you know, God knows where else, Jim.
Well, first of all, I don't think it's just Hunter Biden. I think it's massive number of people that use their family members, their parents or their friends or whatever to gain power, to cut deals with you know, legislators and the executive branch. That's nothing new. But here's what's interesting to me. I don't believe Hunter Biden was the huge mastermind for all this. I think Joe Biden has been doing this for a long time. I think Hunter Biden just was brought up in this environment and has been using his skills and knowledge in order to benefit them all in conjunction with Joe Biden. And I think it's just the level of corruption that exists in D.C. with many, many leaders there. And the problem becomes when the Department of Justice picks sides on who they're going to protect and who they're not with this type of corruption. We have the actual problems we have right now in America with half the nation. Half the nation does not trust our law enforcement officials or our intelligence because of what they've done to attack opposition elements and to protect their own party or their own favorites inside Washington, D.C.
Yeah, well, they certainly don't trust the people that you just mentioned. But what I think is really sad, given the fact that our country has always been, up until very recently, the leader of the world, the opinion of people in our society, of the executive branch of government, in my opinion, couldn't be lower.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we've just got a few seconds before we got to go to the commercial break. But
we got about 8 seconds.
Yeah, really.
Let's take it right now. You guys have got the top of the hour news coming up. And I got to tell you, there are some interesting things going on in the news right now. So don't switch your dial quite yet. We'll be back shortly.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
For politics, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the inoculations that are taking place right now. They call them boosters. You can't go to the internet without finding some medical experts who are saying the boosters are bad. Jimmy had actually a first-hand experience, unfortunately, centered around very large groups that he was involved in, in California, when two of his very close friends and family members perished. And Jim said the experience that he had at the funerals were absolutely mind-boggling. Jim, I'd like you to tell those again, if you would.
Yeah, I'll just briefly review. So, you know, both my brother and my uncle passed away this late August and then September. My brother very suddenly liver issue, and my uncle a liver issue. Now, both of them were young and healthy people. My my brother was in his 59, I believe, and
yeah,
59, and my uncle was 66. Now my uncle took the shots initially in I think right when they came out in February or early March of 2020, and 2 months later was diagnosed with a tumor on his liver, and then very rapidly declined. My brother shockingly just died both of a heart attack and something that caused his liver. We don't really know. We tried to get more information, but but the bottom line is, we go to the funerals. There's over 200 people at the funeral for my uncle, and everybody at the funeral got COVID.
Yeah.
This is in California, where almost all of them were actually vaccinated. And my family, none of us have been vaccinated. Now, we've had COVID. We were not vaccinated. We took no boosters, no vaccinations. None of us, me, my wife, or my children, got COVID from this event. But everybody else that had been vaccinated did, including my aunt and my cousins and very close family members.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, they're showing more and more evidence. There's a lot of studies out there right now showing that if you take the boosters, if you've had the vaccinations and the boosters, you're actually more susceptible to the virus. And that's according to multiple studies out there. So,
well, you're susceptible to the virus, but you're also susceptible to some other medical events that are really, really interesting, heart attacks, et cetera, et cetera. I just went to a funeral a week ago today for Master Chief Mike Bailey, who was in fantastic health. He was a Master Chief in the U.S. Navy SEAL team. He was a war hero. He was highly decorated. The experience that I was involved with Mike is that he was feeling kind of rocky one night. His wife insisted on calling an ambulance, taking him into the emergency room to find out what was wrong. He got about halfway to the ER, and he just had a knockdown, absolutely tragic heart attack, and he perished. In addition to the football player who collapsed on the field, I believe that was about 2-3 weeks ago, this thing is pretty scary, and you got to get more attention like that. Those aren't just coincidences, Jim.
No, and it's becoming quite apparent. There are a large number of people that are passing from unexpected circumstances, and there's very little information out there to go back and review. The CDC has come out and said, hey, yeah, we're going to take a look at some of these incidences, and that there may be some risk involved, but they've been covering it up for so long. And we see that with more and more information that's coming out from both the Attorney Generals of Louisiana and Missouri case against the Biden administration for big tech censorship. And we're seeing it in emails from Facebook as well as the Twitter file releases. The government was involved in censoring information that might have made people's decision, might have made people question their decision to go ahead and get these vaccines, because in fact it turns out that maybe they're not as safe and effective as the government had purported them to be. And of course the media just jumped on board with that, and we're seeing incredibly damaging events all around the world right now. Yeah. With healthy athletes, we're seeing many people. My next door neighbor had COVID. He's had three boosters, two shots and three boosters, and he got COVID, and he was down for 2 months. So it's the safe and effective argument has to be questioned. The investigations need to go forward, and the government censoring other scientists and other research that may have changed people's minds about taking these risky vaccines. In my view, a global experiment, because it was a global experiment. No one had ever done this mRNA technology before to inject it in people's bodies at a large scale. So we're seeing the ramifications of it, and I hope and pray we get to the bottom of it. And that's one thing that that this new House of Representatives better push in order to protect the American people from continued damage from these government authorities that are pushing agendas and silencing critics from actually talk to you about what potentially could save your life.
Yeah, completely agree, Jimmy. You know, I have to say that I watched an attempted interview that took place in Davos between a newscaster and the chairman, if I'm not mistaken, of Pfizer. The chairman of Pfizer was confronted with some very, very interesting questions pertaining to exactly what Jimmy and I are talking about right now, and he refused to answer every single question. He was clearly very uncomfortable, and I would suggest anybody who wants to see that, Google Pfizer chairman in Davos.
I think it was Rebel.
Made you stop and think. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think Rebel News out of Canada were the ones that did that interview,
They tried.
Yeah, and what we're seeing across the board is the truth is beginning to come out that what we were told was a lie. That Americans were now, you know, this radio show and the people on here, we've kind of been looking at this for a long time.
Yeah.
One of the more interesting pieces of news that just has popped out, I think Natalie Winters did a piece that shows that EcoHealth Alliance, and that's Peter Daszak, the guy that actually put the researcher that controlled EcoHealth Alliance, that put together this kind of cutout to fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan lab for Anthony Fauci and NIH under a biomedical security funding. And after the Congress, after the Obama White House, it's, hey, no gain-of-function research. He actually has received about $7 million more dollars this last year from NIH, National Institute of Health, funding to do more research on killer viruses.
And who was that again, Jimmy?
Peter Daszak.
Okay.
Peter Daszak is the guy that put together the initial team of doctors that poo-pooed the idea that this was created, that the COVID-19 virus was created in a lab.
Yeah.
And it actually is turning out that is probably the case, and most evidence points that way. And here he is, a guy that tried to cover up his involvement in this, is getting more money from the U.S. government and from the National Institute of Health in order
I mean, what's their choice? They can just give up, or they can say, you know what, the people on the fringe like Corlin and McKinney were right. They're not going to admit that. They're going to continue doing exactly what you're talking about, Jimmy.
Right, which is
about that. You guys, we're going to have to take a real quick commercial break here in about 15 seconds. We're going to talk in the last segment of the program. Jimmy, real quick, we're going to talk about what?
We'll talk about the politics of what's happening right now, maybe finish up on this topic.
There we go. Okay, listen, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. It's been really fun putting this together. Fringe news, I call it. You guys stick around. We'll be right back. Politics, Jimmy, one thing that confuses me, because it doesn't make any common sense whatsoever to me, and that is, what is the rationale behind the regulations? And they're not even regulations, but the country has been absolutely hypnotized into taking various inoculations to theoretically prevent COVID and then taking boosters that are really causing problems. Why is the government doing that, Jim?
Massive propaganda effort in order to, in my view, protect their policies, political policies, to force and mandate vaccines. They can't back away from what they had initially put forward, because this White House is really incapable of doing that. They can't be honest about anything with the border. They can't be honest with anything about, you know, what happened in Afghanistan with crime. They're not being honest about any of these different issues that are affecting Americans on a daily basis, including the economy. But this COVID issue is very, very critical to full confidence and fear of what could happen to you if your government fails. And if they don't continue to push down this road, then that means they have to accept that they made a mistake. I don't think they can make a mistake. They can accept making a mistake. And I think there are multiple reasons why. One is the pharmaceutical companies were bought into this process and they trusted them. The pharmaceutical companies are who they depend on for most of the research and the studies. The government and the FDA and the CDC and, of course, National Institute of Health depended on them. They were integrated with them in this kind of public-private partnership. The companies want to make a ton of money. They have tremendous amount of influence. They had, and of course, the fear factor that went along here pushed the government into a direction. And then the government entities now are unwilling to accept that that was a mistake. And
Jimmy,
so they're trying to
Jimmy,
cover it up.
Whatever happened to moral values? I mean, the execs know there's something amiss in what's going on with the drugs that they are providing. Why don't they just say, you know what, we're going to stop what we're doing, we're going to continue to research this, and hopefully the next one out will be very safe?
Well, think about what happens if they accept that they knew that something was wrong with this stuff. Then that means their liability. Remember, the government gave them immunity from liability over these issues.
Right.
If, in fact, they admit or it turns out that they knew there were problems and they were not forthcoming with the government or with the public, then that takes away that immunity. That means they're susceptible to massive fines. And of course, as long as they can keep pushing this agenda, as long as they can keep this, you know, kind of hoping that everything turns out all right,
right,
then they make a ton of money, billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
So I think that's the incentive. I also think the political incentive here is very important, that the government officials do not want to admit that they were forcing vaccinations on people that would not work. And that people lost their jobs because of it.
Yeah.
You're starting to see lawsuits come forward, and some of them successful lawsuits, about these mandates and forcing people out of employment because of the government mandates. But the damage done to the economy and the damage done to the psyche of the American people is far, far greater than that. And as long as these major corporations that have tremendous amount of influence can try and shape the opinion that this was had nothing and they could just sweep it under the rug over time, that's exactly what they're going to do. And unfortunately, we have an administration, you're right, that has no integrity, and no one holds them accountable for it, because the advantage goes to the liar.
What a shame. You know, America has been sitting on top of a pedestal for a very, very long time. And unfortunately, the folks at Pfizer, Moderna, and some of the other pharmaceutical companies are chipping away at that pedestal, so America is going to fall down. What are you guys out there listening in? What do you think about that? You know how to get a hold of us. Just go on the blog, www.kereport.com.
Yeah, go to the KER Politics link on to the right side, the little flag, that's where the blog for the politics section is.
Right.
So, you know, what we're seeing now is the political collapse of the Democratic Party, because the more they push these agendas, the more that they try to cover up what they've done with the border, what they've done with the economy, what they've done in foreign policy issues with crime in America, the more they look stupid. And that's what you see right now in the White House briefings. But you've got this dilemma for the Democratic leadership with Joe Biden in office, and the incumbent always has the advantage. So nobody is stepping up. You're not hearing much of anything other than maybe from Gavin Newsom of anybody stepping up to say they're going to run against him.
Right.
And they're all waiting with bated breath to see what's happening while he's being crushed politically right now by his own party because of this classified document scandal, because of the many, many major issues that he's failed with, and a very low approval rating that really hasn't gone up at all. It's gone down from the time he was started.
You know, I want to mention one thing. I want to change the subject just briefly, because it really builds on what we were talking about right now, and take out the word were, what we are talking about right now. I want to make a comment on the southern border. I talked about this in a daily editorial that went out, I can't remember what day it was, earlier this week, but I do a Bible study, and in that Bible study, I've got a couple of what I would call very high rollers in the Border Patrol, and I want to say that the subject of what's going on the southern border came up yesterday. And the thing that one of my friends who was in charge of an entire crossing said is, he said, the problem that we have on the southern border is the staff doesn't even know what to think. You know, why are we here? Why are we here? What's going on? Is this going to turn into something totally unmanageable? The morale of those folks is extremely low. Never thought I'd see that in America, Jim.
No, you're seeing it not only in this Customs and Border Protection, the CBP officers. You're seeing it in Homeland Security overall. You're seeing it in the military,
right,
where massive numbers of soldiers are like, what is going on here? I'm tired of being told about, you know, gender training and LGBT acceptance and transitioning,
right,
a handful of soldiers into another gender,
yeah,
and being forced to accept that, and then watching what happened after 20 years of combat, walking away from Afghanistan and allowing Iraq, we walked away the same in Iraq in 2014 and caused tremendous pain and suffering.
Yeah,
military's feeling it. I would imagine the transportation department's feeling it. It's a comprehensive lack of leadership across the board with this administration of incompetent people that are politically active, politically supported, but really more focused on the image than the substance of what they need to do to manage this nation and to protect it.
Jimmy, you were involved actively for most of your career in Army intelligence. You were decorated by various countries in the Middle East. You did a great job. How were things back in those days in terms of morale? Because we're going back, probably 10 years, huh?
Yeah, I mean, people had a motivation. They had a purpose. They believed in what they were doing.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was, it's turned out that much of it was facade and affront, And so that's the problem. You had tremendous, really up to 10 million American soldiers fought in Iraq and Afghanistan over a 20-year period.
Yeah.
And everything they fought for, all our friends, my friends that were died or killed, or like my son, who's 100% disabled now and from his Afghanistan deployments, you lose heart. And I imagine the same feeling after 10 years of Vietnam, where you're just like, what the heck? We just walk away.
Sure.
Though this was much more rapid and much more devastating for long-term stability in the United States.
Yeah.
Cold War times, things were different. This is really a different feeling as we watch, as we throw a lot of money into Ukraine and potentially face very global significant actions out there.
Let me wrap this thing up, Jimmy, by saying, to all of our listeners, please, if you agree with us, make your voices known. We have to better the country with not demonstrations, but making your voices known. See you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.